The Old Testament reading is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33. The righteous branch and the covenant with David. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. And the gospel reading is from Luke chapter 21, the coming of the Son of Man. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. In this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So as usual, we find ourselves at the beginning of Advent with the readings that we have throughout these next 4 weeks. They constantly speak of Christ's coming and the need for us to be watchful, or to keep alert, to be awake, to recognize the signs that point to that which is about to come, to receive the gift of Christ. But the challenge each year is to assure that this season doesn't fall prey to the same old mentality. We've been there and done it before, in our preaching, in our worship, in our readings, and all the things we do. Same old, here we go again. We need to remind ourselves that God is at work within the community, within places in our world, even in the tragic places that we find ourselves watching on TV or reading in the paper. Even in our worship, same old, an opportunity to bring hope to life again. So the same old, here we go again. We notice something's different this morning. We've come into church and you've noticed the brand new lights that have been installed in the ceiling. Well, maybe you haven't. I certainly have. They're quite bright and beautiful and new and sparkling, a bit like the night sky of Bethlehem, maybe, at Advent and Christmas. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Australian Anna, the theme of Australia, the windmill, the Christmas tree, the shed, the axe in the wood, the lanterns, the Kubra hats, you know, all trying to fit into the theme. Very well done. Good job. Maybe you're struggling with this concept of an open space worship area. Maybe you're very comfortable with it. Maybe you're not quite so sure. Maybe you're thinking, Bob's going to invite me to come down the front next week, so I might just do that and surprise him. You might be surprised that you're seated in a different spot today. And it reminds me of the movie Dead Poets Society. If you've seen the movie, the teacher gets up or asks the students to get up on a table and look at things differently from a different angle. And today's looking at things from a different angle. It's not the same old, same old. The liturgy is different. The emphasis is on Christmas from an Australian point of view, or from upside down Christmas or the right side up Christmas. The Southern Hemisphere, a day of Australian summer, the days, well, they're meant to be hot and dry, but, you know, brown landscape. We're experiencing fires in Queensland, floods in New South Wales, cricket, beach, tennis, long school holidays. The beginning of an Australian summer. All quite different from that which we associate from the other side of the world. So you are invited into this space. You're invited to come and have a look. You're invited to come and participate, not just observe. You are invited to participate in worship and to read the signs as we gather together in worship this Advent. As we listen to the scriptures, as we listen to the word, as we sing the songs, as we pray, and as we meet together in Christian community. As we celebrate, joy to the world, the Lord is come. Yet something is amiss. Something's not quite right. Life's not as cut and dry as it should be. We only need to look at the newspapers, watch the TV, and observe that many people and places do feel hopeless on this day of hope. That people and places are definitely not at peace in the world. Definitely not at loving their neighbour as Christ would ask, or themselves. Even creation is groaning. Just today, another earthquake off Indonesian coast. I don't know of any reports of any damage or anything, but the earth is groaning. Fires, winds, summer, seasons, they're all mixed up. Can we have hope in these days? Many people feel hopeless, but we bring a message of hope. Love thy neighbour. Express kindness. Celebrate grace and unity in diversity. Even within our church, we are struggling, as in the Uniting Church, to live together in harmony. Within our local community, there are many people in this festive season who perhaps do not feel safe, who experience hopelessness, who are worried or feel glum or fearful or struggle to know what true love is. What is hope, joy, and even peace? Yet we as the church continue to proclaim a message, a concept of love, hope, peace, and joy. I often think it's the voice of the church is like that of John the Baptist, a voice that cries out in the wilderness of hopelessness or of violence or depression or fear or uncertainty. A society desperately seeking some form of healing and wholeness and hope and peace and tolerance. What is it that we offer as a Christian community to our world, to our society, if it's not the good news of Jesus Christ? What is that message that we share with others to spread and to communicate? Advent is a time when we wait and we look forward with anticipation. But at the same time, we look back to a time when the prophets were telling of a king that would come and rule, a Messiah, a leader, a peacemaker. In that time, there would be great expectation, for a new era was about to be born. The signs were pointing to something great. Yet history and the Bible tells us that we got a baby. A tiny little baby born in a shed in a hay stall. Born in some out-of-the-way place, in some out-of-the-way time, in ordinary circumstances, rough and ready. Hope was incarnate, not in a leader figure or a politician or a statesperson, but in a child, in a baby. And in all that ordinariness, in all that familiarity, in all that the world offers, in all of that same old, here we go again, a significant moment occurs. A Christ moment occurs. God acts. Love, and joy, and hope, and peace are born. Born in the outback shed. Years earlier, another prophet named Jeremiah was also active in proclaiming God's word. We read that in the Old Testament. Jeremiah lived in a time of circumstances that were pretty rough. Jerusalem had just been razed to the ground and ruined, and the people were taken captive into Babylon. And for over 40 years, Jeremiah prophesied of the doom and gloom. Jeremiah was passionate about God, but the message was harsh. It's all your fault, Jeremiah says, roundabout. He was angry. He was full of despair, grieving at the lack of people's hope. Jeremiah was an unpopular prophet. I mean, who loves a prophet to go around, it's your fault? Oh, doom and gloom, it's your fault. That's until we read chapter 33, the reading we had this morning. We see another side to that of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's words are no longer of judgment and accusation, but rather a message of hope. Of hope. Not judgment or accusation, but comfort and promise. The days are coming, in spite of all this, that the Lord will bring justice, will restore the land, will free God's people. God will raise up a leader, and God's kingdom will be established. In other words, in all the desperation, when things are at their worst, when hope seems to be gone, and when things around you are crumbling, God says, hope. Don't give up on hope. Hope not in the things around you, and hope not in yourself, but hope in God. Isaiah was another prophet who spoke in the Old Testament times, also speaks a message of hope. And an affirmation that God's promises are true and faithful. According to Isaiah, the word that goes out from the Lord shall not return empty or void. We go out with joy and be led back in peace. Nature declares the goodness and awesomeness of God, saying that the mountains will burst into song. The mountains will burst into song. Trees will clap their hands. Trees will clap their hands, all in praise and wonder. Instead of thorns, up will shoot the cypress or the pine. In the place of the briar or the prickle will flourish the myrtle. In all of this, a memorial, or a sign of hope. Hope now and hope to come. The sign, it is coming. The basis of our hope is not on who we are, as a people, but on God. In moments when we are intensely aware of our own failures and shortcomings, of ourselves and even those around us, or even when God seems to be a long way off, maybe silent, God's promises still remain. Our hope lies in the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets' message that this long anticipated and waited for Messiah, one leader, Jesus, life-changing moment, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the sign. The advent of our God in Christ calls us to remember our past, experience the present, and have hope and life for the future. The mark of Christ's disciples, God's church, the sign is love. It is faithfulness. It is peace. It is joy. But we can only live these when we trust in and take in God's reign. God's working in our life, our time, now. Unfortunately, as we work for justice and peace in our world, we know that not every place is experiencing peace and hope and love and joy. It's up to us to bring those signs to a reality, to live it in our lives now, to make God's promises true now, here, today, and beyond. Our hope does not lay in the things that we do or in situations we're in, no matter how hard we try to solve them, but our hope is in the one who has been born. In spite of all that is contrary, in spite of all the signs that says, no, same old, we have hope. Hope that we celebrate today. Advent is a time for us not to be waiting around for Jesus to come, for Christ has come. But a celebration, once again, that Christ has come. That tiny baby born in the shed in that long ago time, in that far away place. We might say, out back. Same old, same old. The hope and promise of our world. The stillness of anticipation cradles tiny Bethlehem. Silent now in preparation for the miracle of birth. All creation hushed, expectant, waits a baby's cry. Born in all simplicity at the turning point of time. Be silent, earth, before the mystery of the long-awaited birth. All the hopes of human history, longings, yearnings, dreams, desires, gathered in a single moment, focused in a child, born in all simplicity at the turning point of time, an emerging star in celebration, blazes over Bethlehem, center of all creation, where the human and divine are refined in simple beauty in the newborn child. Born in all simplicity at the turning point of time. We listen to the sounds of nature this morning, singing their praise to the coming of Christ. Let us also listen.